"Well, that's true enough," said he. "You know, Victor," turning to his son, "when we broke up that poaching gang, they swore to knife us, and Sir Edward Holly has actually been attacked. I've always been on my guard since then, though I have no idea how you know it." "You have a very handsome stick," I answered. "By the inscription, I observed that you have not had it more than a year, but you have taken some pains to bore the head of it and pour melted lead into the hole, so as to make it a formidable weapon. I argued that you would not take such precautions unless you had some danger to fear." "Anything else?" he asked, smiling. "You have boxed a good deal in your youth." "Right again. How did you know? Is my nose knocked a little out of the straight?" "No," said I. "It is your ears. They have the peculiar flattening and thickening which marks the boxing man." "Anything else?" "You have done a good deal of digging by your callosities." "Made all my money at the goldfields." "You have been in New Zealand." "Right again." "You have visited Japan." "Quite true." "And you have been most intimately associated with someone whose initials were J.A. and whom you afterwards were eager to entirely forget." Mr. Trevor stood slowly up, fixed his large blue eyes upon me with a strange, wild stare, and then pitched forward with his face among the nutshells which strewed the cloth in a dead faint. You can imagine, Watson, how shocked both his son and I were. His attack did not last long, however, for when we undid his collar and sprinkled the water from one of the finger glasses over his face, he gave a gasp or two and sat up.